What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Just So We're Clear. It's your host, Marissa Tru. Hanley is not with me right now, which is odd because she's just actually landed back in Singapore, but we haven't reunited yet. But what we did was take the opportunity during this time apart to host our own episodes. And I'm pretty sure we've already published the one with Hanley and Emil where they discuss their long distance relationship. But today we're talking about a long distance relationship of a different kind. The one between me and my sister, who is today's guest, Caitlin Tru.
Hello. First of all, you just stole my joke. I'm the one that made a reference to us as a long distance relationship. So I would just like that on the record. I would like it on the record. That's all I'm saying.
So Kay and I have this interesting dynamic where a lot of people either have no idea what we're talking about because it's like we're speaking on a different wavelength, or they just kind of watch it as a show. And we didn't really know how to channel that onto the podcast. So we gave ourselves a little liquid courage.
With some penis straws too.
Yeah, because what's more on brand for two sisters talking about today's topic, online dating, than drinking out of a couple penis straws?
It does taste a lot better, I will say that.
Through the straw?
Yeah. The notes are just different, you know?
Mm-hmm. It fills your mouth in a different kind of way.
Lets it breathe.
It's like you're
but
decanting.
But in a much more real sense, it does not let it breathe.
So, as I mentioned, today's topic is online dating, and Kate and I have both been single for a while now. Kate lives in London, I live in Singapore, and our dating experiences have a lot of parallels, but they also have a lot of differences. So what we're going to go through today is basically some of the common profiles we encounter, some of the like ways in which we've chosen to build our own profiles, and then some of the weird little dating experiences that we've had and how we've handled it. But before we get into that, Kate, you have to expose yourself slightly and give us a little backstory to your dating life. You can choose how far back you want to go.
Okay, fair. I don't mind getting a little bit like balls deep in some trauma, so that's cool.
Get balls deep.
So like Marissa said, I've been single for probably about a year and a bit now. Before that, I was in a relationship for 4.5 years, lived together for 3.5 of those years. When I say the breakup was catastrophic.
Traumatic.
It was fucking awful.
Yeah, it was grim. I remember that phone call like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was not a fun time.
Do you want to dig into why? You don't have to. I'll do it for you.
No, but I will say he was a bit of a little bitch.
We're going to distill 4 years of history and a lot of areas of improvement down to he was a little bitch.
I shouldn't have said that.
It's fine that you said that because you can take ownership of the fact that you feel a bit of fury behind what transpired.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously there were a lot of great times and in many ways he was a wonderful partner, but oh my God, was it bad at the end. So, you know, when your life just kind of like bursts into flames and you're like that dog in the meme where you're like, this is fine.
I always liken it to that book, Little Fires Everywhere, where I'm like, wow, everything really be on fire. And how many little fires make a big fire, you know?
But there was like one big bonfire and there were like lots of little matches around it as well.
True. Yeah. It was a pretty bad scenario. I'll give you that.
It was very good for like character development, but now I'm like, okay, enough. Enough.
Yeah, I think when it came to, because this all transpired in 2020.
Yeah.
And I mean, in our family, little tidbit of information, I broke up with my partner. Then my brother actually ended up breaking up with his partner. And then about 8 months later, Kate broke up with hers. So we were very much at the breakup Olympics in that year.
It's funny you say that, because after you, Marissa, and our brother both broke up with their partners, I remember turning to mine being like, oh my God, if you're going to, like, if we're going to fuck this up somehow, you better not do it now. My family's in crisis. And he was like, haha, don't worry, I'll wait. Oh, and whoa, he waited.
That's what our English teachers would call foreshadowing. Anyway, that's since passed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are very much into this new phase of your life where you are having hot girl summers.
Yeah.
You and I have both discussed it already. You said your hot girl summer, like, you smashed it. You got yourself an A+ in that class.
I'm very, very proud of what I accomplished. It's true.
And a lot of that was facilitated by the proverbial dating apps, correct?
Hell yeah, it was.
Hell yeah, it was.
Also, for context, like, I had not actually been properly using any of the apps before this last year. Because I had them back when I was at university. I kind of did it as like a stupid thing in the background, but I only ever went on one Tinder date, and that's how I ended up in this long-term relationship. But before that, it was pretty inconsequential. So it was like I was looking at it from fresh eyes. Obviously, I knew what was going around. My friends were using the apps, but I'd never actually used them myself properly until about a year ago.
But that was also because the first person you ever met on a dating app was the first person. I mean, that was your relationship.
Yeah, literally.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
So you never dabbled.
Sometimes it's a trap.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Everyone thinks of it as this really frivolous activity where you maybe meet a casual partner, but no, you locked it down for 4 years. You were living together. That's a big deal. But that's not the intent behind what you're doing when you're dating and meeting people now.
No, it was not for a very long time. I don't think I necessarily knew that. But then I was like, I remember this one moment where I was like, huh, why am I going on all these dates with really lovely, like, smart, good looking guys? And yet I feel absolutely nothing. And then I was like, shit, maybe I should go to like therapy.
I mean, I don't know if we have time to go into starting therapy and the connection with dating in this episode. That's a lot to unpack. And
no,
I feel like
it is. But I'm just saying, I was like not even aware that that's what I was doing. And then I was like, oh, actually, maybe I need to do a little bit of soul searching, work on myself. And now I'm a bit less closed off, more emotionally available.
Okay, so when you first downloaded, or no, correct that. When you download the apps and have them on your phone right now, what are you looking for? Because that's always a question that they ask you when you start chatting. They're like, what are you here for? What are you looking for? And I personally always read that as a guy asking if I'm down to just like hook up. And I'm always a bit like, well, I'd like a conversation first.
I'm a firm believer in it depends on what I find. So if I find someone that I do want to like be in a serious relationship with, then yeah, sure, I'm open to that. I'm not going to discard them for no reason. But in the meantime, girl's got needs. So if I'm just like chilling and I'm like, oh, actually, he's really attractive, then why not?
So you're using it to build a roster of sorts? No?
Yeah. Well, no.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. One could argue that a roster is important.
And depending on what stage you're at and what you're looking for, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the roster is there, but that's not what I'm looking for. It's just like,
it's a convenient thing to have while you continue looking for what you really want, which, let's be honest, Caitlin, you are a relationship girl. And
okay.
History would dictate.
I've been in two relationships. That most recent one for like 4.5 years. And one before that was very on and off for about a year.
But you were emotionally quite committed.
Yeah, no, I was very emotionally committed. But okay. He wasn't.
Until now.
Oh. Okay, so that. I can't put that on my story.
Off the record. But okay, then I think we should just go deep into the common profiles that all of us women encounter and what we think of them. Because I don't know if these guys think that they're unique when they put these things on their profiles, or if they think it's just a cop-out answer and it helps them finish the prompts. Because I don't know if anyone that's been tuning in right now has been on Hinge, but you have to fill out 3 specific question prompts as well as upload, I think, like 6 photos, so that you're more easy to vet as a profile. And guys are just, they really do have them typical responses.
But I also don't blame them, because they can't see what other men are putting on their profiles.
True. Maybe we should occasionally just change our preference to see what other women are putting on their profiles and seeing how ours measure up, and then also seeing.
No, because I traded phones with one of my colleagues, because he's recently single and he was like flipping through women, and we looked at each other's Hinge like feeds basically, and all the women were freaking stunning. Okay. And I was like, I don't need to know that this is what I'm competing against. Every last one of them, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And then he looked at mine and he was like, his face visibly dropped, and he was like, Caitlin, I'm so sorry.
But that's the thing, because we always make the joke about how men can just quickly swipe right. Like, they just keep swiping right and they don't actually take any time to swipe left, because for them it's a numbers game. But when you're faced with a market of just stunning and beautiful women, of course they're going to keep doing that. But anyway, like I said, their prompts. What's your favorite prompt and what's your least favorite prompt?
Okay, my least favorite is when they're talking about like their best travel story, and apparently every single man in the world has been
arrested in Nicaragua,
arrested, abducted, or bribed someone in South America.
It's always South America.
And I'm like, all that says to me is that you're not very street smart, and then you look like a victim. I'm like, I don't want someone where, like, if a stranger on the street looked at him, thought, oh, I could kidnap that boy. I don't want that. I want to feel safe.
Yeah, they're just not street smart whatsoever based on those stories. I think my personal pet peeve when it comes to profiles is when they say, I'm overly competitive about everything. I order tequila for the table, and I really want a girl who doesn't take herself too seriously. That's my trifecta of nope, no way, absolutely not. Unless they're physically very stunning, in which case I'd be like,
in which case their personality doesn't matter. Here for a good time, not a long time.
Yep.
No, but I do find it interesting how like irritated you get at the, you know, I want a girl that doesn't take themselves too seriously, because I had not actually given that much thought before you brought it up. To me, it's just like, oh, you know, just be able to like laugh about whatever's going on and just have a good time.
But I think, first of all, I guess maybe for my personality, which is a fairly intense personality, I do take things seriously, but I don't take everything seriously. So when people say, oh, don't take yourself too seriously, I'm just like, well, I feel like I'm being funneled down into one specific thing, and I'm supposed to be some carefree surfer girl, and like, you know what I mean? Not one that reads books, cares about her career, is trying to strive for things.
I did see a prompt the other day that was like the perfect balance, where he said something like his life mantra is take the serious thing seriously and nothing else.
See, that makes sense to me.
That makes sense to me.
I quite like that.
Yeah. He read the room.
So what are the things that draw you to particular profiles?
Ooh, I just like when they're really funny and a little bit self-deprecating, not in like a way that makes you want to feel like you have to compliment them, but if they talk about something embarrassing that they did, I just eat that up. I love it.
Do you have any examples?
I actually screenshotted this and sent it to you. This one guy was like, oh, worst date story. Wanted to get into, I don't know what movie it was, like Avatar or something, but they were sold out. So instead we had to go and see Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel. But they only had one pair of 3D glasses to share, so they kept switching. And I just love the idea of going to the Squeakquel for your date.
I actually think that would be your dream date.
Yeah.
Because anything that's spontaneous, quirky, and a little bit awkward.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if you're just like crying, laughing, being like, I can't believe we're doing this, that's amazing. Because also,
agree.
If they're going to be grumpy and not just embrace it, I'm not into that.
Oh, yeah. See, maybe they should not take themselves too seriously.
Oh, my God. Guys, if you're out there, stop taking yourself so seriously.
For me, the other weird... No, wait. Actually, let me ask you first. The pet peeves. Things you see on profiles in photos or anything that you just think, ugh, no. Like, for me, if it's like a topless gym selfie that without their face.
Yeah, no, I really hate that. I really, really hate it. I don't care how good your body looks.
I mean, I'll appreciate the body. I'm just not going to swipe right on it.
No, because I feel like you're also putting out a pretty specific message there where you're like, it's casual.
But that is the thing, right? Like, whether you're on Bumble, on Hinge, on Tinder, you can almost gauge what someone is looking for based on how they portray themselves in both photos and their bios.
Yeah, but we do that as well, don't we?
Yeah, of course. But I feel like, say, for example, you're looking at building this roster, right? Mm-hmm. But your profile doesn't change. You still want to portray a little bit of humor, a little bit of sass, and also just a couple thirst traps, like thirst trap, thirst trap, thirst trap.
This is not entirely true. Do you remember when I first created my Hinge profile and I sent it to you and then I was like briefly seeing this guy and then I had this little panic because I was like, Mirza, he's too good and I don't want to attract the husband types right now. And so then we discussed how to strategically make my profile more thirst trappy, less wholesome, which included more photos of me, this like set of photos of me drunk in a photo booth at a friend's party that I don't remember in this like backless jumpsuit, and then less photos of me and a dog.
True. There is a, yeah, you do have to think about how your profile curates different kinds of attention. I mean, I like to think that, and I only realized this after I made my profile, that I've created it so that it's a very much an all-encompassing profile where I have like the direct shot of my face. So you can't tell me that I deceived you as to what I looked like, because I don't know about you, but I have spoken to a couple other girls and I know I feel it especially is that because I use photos from, say, even 3 or 6 months ago, I low-key believe that I might be gaslighting them because I just looked especially good that day. And I'm like, I don't look like that every day.
No, 100%. Sometimes I won't even let them look at me from certain angles with bad lighting. I'm like, don't. You don't want to see what's there.
Don't look at it. Just look at the profile.
Exactly. No, I do get worried about being a catfish of myself.
But then that's the ironic thing is that we're so self-conscious about, have we portrayed an unrealistic depiction of ourselves? Meanwhile, these guys are just have like these off-focus, really shit photos of them with their friends where you can't even tell which one is him.
And then we look at it and we're like, he could be cute.
Or he could be the hot one. And then you scroll and, he's not the hot one.
He's never the hot one.
He's never the hot one. Stop putting photos of yourself with your hottest friend.
Yeah, I will never do that. I have quite, actually, basically all of my friends never really put them on my profile because they're too hot.
No, all of my friends are too beautiful. I can't do that because it just makes me feel like the duff of the group.
I don't want to set myself up to fail. Yeah.
No, but going back to what I was saying was that like you start with, you know, this straightforward shot of your face or your favorite photo of yourself. And then you kind of go into like, here's the full body shot. Here's me doing an activity that shows that I'm adventurous or I have a passport and like to travel. Then travel is part of my personality. And then you're like, oh, congratulations. You made it this far. Here's a thirst trap for your efforts. And then the last one is like, yeah, but I'm also a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. So bring it back to center.
We can do it all. Yeah.
We can do it all.
We can have it all. But sometimes I do worry that my profile makes me look a bit too high maintenance because I'm like, oh, I'm too polished. These photos are too good.
I don't know. I feel like, especially given we're a social media generation, everyone knows that you're going to use the most curated photos of yourself. But then it always begs the question of why some guys have the worst. Like, did no one ever photograph you in a good light? Did no one ever photograph you and think maybe we should focus this lens?
No, because it's an unfortunate thing. But I think a lot of guys are out there and they don't have the kind of friends that show support in that way where they're like, mate, you look really good right now. Let me take a picture. It's mostly, I think, like women friends that will be like, oh, my God, stay right there.
That's fair. And I think there's also a slight double standard in that when you see a guy's profile and it's overly manicured and you can tell they're proper shoots, then you just think, no.
Yeah.
Too high maintenance.
No. Also, you can tell when they've had that photo shoot and it looks like something that like belongs on like LinkedIn.
Ugh. Oh my God. Never use your LinkedIn profile picture as part of your dating profile. Tip for all men listening.
So one thing that I do before I go on dates is I always try and find their LinkedIn profile. And this is probably a bit much, but I'm like, you know, I want to...
That's definitely like elder millennial stalking.
Yeah, but it's kind of... I'm in the interest of women's safety. It's because I'm like, I want to see that they're a real person. Because a catfish is not going to make a LinkedIn profile,
true,
you know?
Correct.
But I also want to see...
Now they might.
Oh, damn it.
They're secrets.
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 Don't say a word.
Anyway, Excuse that.
Because I'm like, well, I want to see, first of all, that they're not a catfish. I want to see roughly like where they grew up, what schools did they go to, just out of like curiosity. I want to know their last name so that I can then look on other social media.
But cross-reference. Then, because you, I remember you dated one guy and I expected you to send me screenshots of his dating profile, but instead you sent me photos from his Facebook because you had already found him on Facebook and stalked him from there.
100%. So like part of my job sometimes, because I work in business development, is, you know, really picking out details of like people's lives. I'm targeting companies, not people, but it makes me really good at stalking. But yeah, on LinkedIn, I'm like, okay, I have one friend that was like, I think it was after a string of dates where I was like, you know, just really not being into them. It's gross. Or like I've canceled dates because I just don't think it's going to work. Because I looked at their LinkedIn and I was like, I can't be attracted to that. And then she very smartly was like, Caitlin, LinkedIn is where sex appeal goes to die.
It's true. I've never found a profile on LinkedIn and thought, yeah, I wouldn't kick that out of bed.
I have once, but in hindsight, where I looked at his LinkedIn afterwards and I was like, yeah, I did good.
The only time that has ever occurred to me was when it was Love Island 2021 and
Is this when you added Teddy on LinkedIn?
I did. Because I was like, everyone's going to follow him on social media. So what's the one place no one's going to think to add him? So I added him on LinkedIn and that request is still pending.
I mean, what's the one social media platform he's not going to need to use after Love Island?
He worked in finance. It depends how committed he is to his corporate career.
Yeah, but he's not like the Dr. Alex of finance where he's going to go back to it and like spread the word about whatever.
But let's bring this.
I digress.
So then, okay, so we've covered the things that you've done to curate your own profile and then some of the weird little characteristics of men's profiles that you don't quite like. But are there any red flags that you see? And the moment you see it, you just think, nope, he's out. Even if he's like the best looking guy on earth.
Yeah, I would say those like strategic photos where they're getting like, you know, their Lamborghini and their Rolex in the same picture. I just can't deal with it.
Oh, so when they're trying to depict like flagrant wealth.
Yeah, they're like leading with their wealth. I'm like, it's all good if you're rich. Successful and rich, like good for you. But if that's the like foot that you're putting forward where you're like, this is the best thing I've got to offer. I'm like, next.
I also kind of see it as the sort of energy you're trying to attract at the same time. And those are often the same guys who are then like, I just don't understand why women date me for my money. It's like, sir.
But then with other men, it's like, they're so afraid women are going to date them for money they don't have.
Oh, what an unjust world we live in.
Yeah, sucks.
Okay, so then when it comes to the chats, what is it that convinces you, you know what, I'm going to go on this date? Because... like, you can match with so many different people and it is a bit of a numbers game. Mm-hmm. But what is it when you see them and you think, this one, I'll go for drinks with this one?
I think for me personally, it's two things. If they're really funny, then I'm done. I have no defense. I just have to go.
Yeah, because I love a funny man.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm going to have fun for sure when I go. So amazing. The second one is when they're just it kind of has to go in tandem. If they're really kind and that their default is to be really sweet, I really like that because I don't think that happens that often.
No, I don't know about you, but here at least you get a lot of very defensive kind of dismissive energies where they're just like, yeah, go out with me, or, you know, don't, whatever. And you're just like, well, like, do you want me to go out with you or not? Because I'm not going to go unless you're actually keen.
Yeah. And I feel like if they're not really nice or like kind to you, it gives you the impression where you're like, you could actually be talking to anyone. You could be going on a date with anyone. It just happens to be me today.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah. And then the other side is that, like, sometimes I get the energy of, do you think that I should be grateful for you to have asked me out?
Which one of us is really doing the other favor here?
Who's punching right now? Because I generally always think it's the man.
Yeah.
But I'm going to poke a little soft spot with you because I know this for a fact. Don't worry, it's not that sensitive. You can definitely get into it.
I'm already bracing for impact.
So Caitlin, I'm 5'7". Caitlin is 5'9". She's a very tall girl. And oftentimes, and the average male height is 5'7". So
small boys.
It's the small boys. And so I know that there's a bit of a hang up, not just with you, but most women, about dating men that are shorter or slightly shorter. So what is it that helps convince you to go out with a short king?
Ooh.
Because as we learned, not all short men are short kings.
So yeah, that is so true. I have been on what I thought at the time were two dates with two short kings. One of them is still a king. He's amazing. The other one, not so much.
Was this the one that sent you dick pics?
Yeah, he sent me an unsolicited dick pic. And I was like, you're meant to be camping on holiday with your friend. Like, what? Why?
So can we tell the little backstory of what happened between you and I when he sent you that dick pic?
Yeah.
Go on.
So I came across someone else's profile and there was a really funny video he'd put up. So I was trying to screen record it for Marissa to show her. And then as I was doing it, this guy sent me an unsolicited dick pic. So, and I didn't realize, so I stopped like recording the video. I send it to Marissa. And then 10 minutes later, when I'm watching it back, I see the little thumbnail come up in the corner.
So on my end, I just see a funny video that Kate sent and I'm so ready for it because generally whenever we send each other videos, we know it's going to be worthwhile. And I just see this little notification pop up and I'm like, wait, what is that? What is that pixelated tiny little earthworm looking thing in the top right corner? And Kate immediately, because you can obviously now delete your messages on WhatsApp before the other person's read it or even after they've read it, so long as it's recent enough. And Kate just started screaming, don't look at it, anything, just don't open it. And obviously it was too late. I dropped to my knees crying laughing. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because Kate and I are close. We are super close, but we aren't sharing dick pics.
No,
close.
Because also that's illegal and never okay.
Yeah, that's
completely
revenge
unethical.
Porn.
Yeah,
don't
we
do
don't
that.
Do that.
If anyone does that, stop.
It's not cute. It's
not
really
cute.
Not cute.
PSA.
No. A social cause I care about. No, but so, okay, I didn't meet him on an app, to be fair. I was at a pub with some friends and then he came over and started chatting me up and then he just wouldn't really leave me alone. And then we left and then he somehow found me again and then kept talking to me. And I was like, you know what, he's really funny, he's fine, whatever. Went on a date and I was like, actually, you can't really tell he's a short king because he's like pretty chilled
and
relaxed.
Larger than life.
He's not overcompensating for anything.
Do you have lifts in his shoes?
No. I wish.
I still remember a date where the thing is with short kings is I don't actually mind if they're shorter. That's actually not a problem. So long as you're upfront and honest about it. Because I definitely went on a date once where the guy's height listed was taller than me. And I thought, oh, he's about the same height, if not slightly taller. But that's okay. And then when I got to the date, he was on a high bar stool and he hopped down. And it was just that when he hopped down, he came below my eye line. And it was just that moment, that like readjustment of my judgment that I feel really bad for because I shouldn't have been so quick to...
No, but it was because he lied more than anything else.
But I mean, I wasn't really holding him to the fact that he lied. I could understand and sympathize with why he lied. But I was just like... It's just that because it was contrary to expectation, I was like, oh, And he was actually awesome. Like, he was really, really cool. But we didn't end up going on another date just because I couldn't shake it off.
Were you still, like, physically attracted to him?
He was all right. He was all right. I have a thing where I see profiles and I think they're going to be so attractive. And I think I build them up in my head. And then when I'm on the date, I'm like, nah.
I do that all the time where I'm like, no, they could surprise me. They could really surprise me. Sometimes they will. But then most of the time, it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, sometimes they really, really just look like their profile. And you're like, oh. Well, I think with women, oftentimes you're like, wow, they look stunning. Oh my God, they're so much more breathtaking in real life. And then with guys, you're like, oh, you really be the same.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, I have gone on a couple dates where I turned up and the guy was just a smoke show. And I sat there thinking, I am not good enough to be on this date right now. Like, I really should have made more of an effort.
Really?
Yeah. It was only like once or twice. Wow, and it didn't really go anywhere.
Fair enough. No, but I don't have a problem with them being shorter than me or short. Like, it kind of points out my insecurities more than theirs, where I'm like, sometimes it makes me feel a little bit hulky, where I'm like, if I'm, because I'm also quite, like, fairly broad. So I'm like, if I'm taller and broader than them, I feel like a bit of a monster.
I feel that, because then you're kind of looking for a guy that will help you feel a little bit more feminine.
Yeah. I'm right? Like, protect me. I'm in so much danger.
So small.
I'm so little.
Just protect. I'm just a woman.
I'm just a little baby. No, but yeah, I like, it's fine. I think it just kind of probably.
Sorry, there's a bike bell going on in the background and we don't know who's trying to get our attention.
Karen, stop it.
Oh yeah, quick shout out to Karen, who's currently quarantining in her bedroom right now because she's COVID positive, so that we can record this podcast.
We love you. We hope you're okay, even though we spoke to you like 30 seconds ago. So yeah, I feel like this Sorry. Bike bell is killing me.
I don't know if you guys can hear that bike bell, but if you can, enjoy it with us.
So it's completely fine if they're shorter than me, but I feel like, to be completely transparent, for me that means that my expectations of the rest of their, like, attractiveness, like their face, is higher.
Sure. So if you're gonna be short, you gotta be really beautiful. Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Like, I've seen guys on the apps that have, like, matched with me or liked me or whatever, and they're incredibly good looking. They're about 5'7", 5'8", and I'm like, you know what? For you, I don't care.
But then don't you kind of worry that then we're enforcing the sort of same standard that we always accuse men of? Because men will just be like, oh yeah, no, she's not that hot. And we're like, how dare you? She's beautiful and she's smart and accomplished. And we kind of defend, like, every... I've genuinely, whenever a guy says, oh, a girl's not that hot or something, I'm like, how dare you? Take that back. Accept her for her beauty. Or like, she's just not your kind of beautiful. Doesn't mean she's not beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm not, I won't, like, jump down their throat, but I'll be like, yeah, maybe to you she's not that hot, but to someone else, she's going to be a 10.
We're everyone's type somewhere.
Somewhere.
Shout out to Justin. The bike fell again. Perfect timing.
Yeah, so I feel like it's completely fine to not be super attracted to someone, because, like, it's so subjective. There are guys that I find incredibly attractive, but I know for a fact that my friends are not going to pick up on the same things that I do.
Sure.
And just, like, for them, someone could be a 10, but I'm like, for me, he's like a 6, but I respect what you're doing.
So that's another thing, especially when it comes to sharing profiles with girlfriends, is that you're like, yeah, but listen, you always have to sort of rationalize.
You've got like a disclaimer.
Like, he doesn't look good in pictures. He's hilarious in real life. And I don't know, he's really good in bed.
Yeah.
Those are three important things that uprank your number.
Yeah.
Especially the last.
I feel like that's super common with women, though, because you're always, like, finding the diamond in the rough more than anything. Because also, if a guy is too attractive, I become uncomfortable.
Is that because you don't trust the situation? Or what is it about them that makes you feel uncomfortable? Your eye roll.
Damn it.
Is deafening.
Probably because it makes me feel a little bit insecure.
Because it feels like you're punching all of a sudden?
Yeah, because I'm not used to that. I've got to be the hotter one.
See, this is another thing, because Hanley and I have discussed this on the podcast, where we're like, you should they should like you or love you more than you like or love them, just because it puts you in a position of safety. And I don't think that's necessarily true of all situations, but it's definitely a comfort zone for a lot of women to be like, yeah, you're lucky I'm with you because look at me. I could get anyone.
To be fair, right off the bat, an incredibly attractive man is like really making you feel special and
I'm like,
oh, yeah, no, I believe it. Look at me.
I've said that. I've actually had dates where, frankly, I got a little bit tipsy, or I was tipsy before I arrived. And I was really clear that I was like, I know what I'm bringing to the table. And 9 times out of 10, they didn't like it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, rejection, while it feels personal, isn't actually personal.
True.
Because I feel like you could, like I said before, you could come across some really lovely, smart, attractive people. If you're not in the right state of mind, you'll still reject them anyway.
Yeah. Have you had experience with that on your side or from them to you?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I feel like I did that for a good maybe 6 to 9 months. And don't get me wrong, like, it was a lot of fun because it was like hot girl summer. And I was just like, I'll do what I want. But then on the flip side, yeah, I think there have been situations where the guy's like very upfront being like, oh, I just got out of a relationship. I'm just like, I don't have the emotional capacity to invest in someone else. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. As long as they're upfront about it, I'm like, I don't really care.
So then what are your thoughts on ghosting?
Ooh, I think it can be.
As a ghoster and a ghostie. Not a goatee.
A ghostie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever like blatantly ghosted someone. If I feel like they're expecting like another date or something, I'll just spit it out and be like, look, I just don't think the chemistry is what I'm after right now. It's nothing to do with you. But then on the flip side, I don't think I've been like properly ghosted. There was like a gray area once where he was going through a lot of his own stuff. We'd been dating probably for like 2 months.
Slightly different circumstances, because if this is who I think it is.
It is.
He straight up left the country.
He did. But
for personal circumstances.
He didn't tell me before that.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But okay, but then it comes down to the definition of what is ghosting. When are you sort of within the gray area that if you were to just drop off the map, there's no real emotional obligation to one another versus to the point where it's just straight up disrespect?
I mean, obviously, if you're just talking on the apps or texting and you haven't met in person, that doesn't count as ghosting
to
me.
That doesn't count.
But I feel like it's all about the expectation. So if this person fully expects you to see them again, hang out with them again or whatever, if that's when you drop off the radar, then you're ghosting.
Fair. Have you been ghosted by anyone other than this 2 month person?
No.
And have you ghosted?
No, because I'll just tell him. I'm not really afraid of confrontation.
I'm exactly the same in that I mean, different in the sense that I've been ghosted a few times. And
way to brag about it. Humble brag.
Is it? No, but as a result, like, I remember and I will never forget how shit it made me feel. And that's why when it comes to if someone is asking me out again, I would much rather be very, very clear and upfront and just be like, I'm sorry. I think you're great. You're just not the right one for me, or I'm not in the right headspace to be with anyone right now, or I'll find a way to be clear about it, but obviously kind about it. But I stand by the fact that I think ghosting, like, if you're an 8, it will make you feel like a 2. And chances are the person that's ghosting you is a 4 at best. Even if their looks are a 6/7, their personality docked them straight down.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it's okay for anyone to do. It's so easy to avoid. Like, why?
And also, at this stage of adulthood, just suck it up and be a grown up and just speak to the person. They're human too. Just hiding under a rock helps no one.
Yeah,
there's a lot of salt like in my tone because so clearly I haven't been ghosted lately, thank God. But
knock still, on wood.
That's not wood. Touch your penis straw.
It's gone soft. Look at it.
Flaccid. The balls are weird though.
The balls are weird. They're like one on top of the other rather than next to each other.
This is the point like, in time I really wish our listeners could see what we're discussing. But
like,
they're
I'm not
very
gonna,
wonky.
I'm not going to body shame anyone. I don't think I've ever looked at a pair of balls and been like, that's not right.
But I will say, at least they're evenly sized.
Have you ever seen ones that aren't evenly sized?
Not perfectly evenly. Like, perfectly evenly. In general, even, yes.
How much are you inspecting?
Not
you like a that ruler?
Much. I'm just saying that if it was uneven, you would know.
Oh, yeah. The naked eye. Literally, it's like, excuse me, sir, did you know your ball is like one of them's bigger than the other?
It's like how one hangs lower than the other.
Yeah. Do they alternate ever where the other one's hanging above the other?
We need a man on this show to explain.
Please send in your answers whenever you have a free moment.
Send us a DM. No pictures,
no
please.
Pictures,
no
please.
No pictures. That is unsolicited.
That's illegal.
Illegal.
That's illegal.
So before we wind this down, because we have been speaking about dating profiles, ghosting, balls. Dad is
we got balls deep.
Dad is going to be so disappointed in us.
Sorry, Dad, I love you, but I told you not to listen to this.
But aren't you glad we drank the rum?
Oh, for sure.
So guys, Kate and I actually attempted this before, and I don't know what it was, but we got so formal and we got so, I don't know, manicured that nothing that we were actually saying was on brand whatsoever. It wasn't our clear-cut personality.
Yeah, and our brand can best be described as like nonsense.
So if you picture the twins from 22 Jump Street, that is very much the dynamic that Kate and I have. Because
are you about to say carrots?
Are you about to say pumpernickel?
Are you about to say glow sticks?
Are you about to say twins? Excuse us.
But that's, I'm not sorry.
But that was the thing that we were so, I don't know, unable to portray. But anyway, we basically wanted to talk about like the experiences that we've both had with online dating, whether it's Bumble, whether it's Hinge, whether it's Tinder, all of which have very different personas. Oh, actually, quick question. So when you come across a guy who, like, say you see his profile on Hinge and then you see it on Tinder and then you see it on Bumble, does he portray himself differently? Or do you read into him differently?
Because yeah, if I know that he, less about what he's put on there, more about the fact that he's also got Tinder, I'm like, yeah, he
can get it.
He could get it. He's just trying to fuck. Because I'm like, well, you know, it's just he's being chill about it. He doesn't really mind. He's more likely just looking for something casual, but also happens to be on Hinge because more people are on Hinge.
So I think here is different where I think more people are on Hinge and Bumble. I mean, sorry, on Tinder and Bumble. But then you do get very different energies where Hinge is more of the like, I could be a fuckboy, but I could also be locked down. While Tinder is like, I'm straight up fuckboy. We're here to have a good time.
Yeah, I love them.
And then
sometimes I just love them.
And then on Bumble, it's very much like, I want to fuck you, but respectfully. Am I wrong?
I mean, I've never had Bumble, but
I think you should get on there because it would be like, listen, I believe in feminism, but we're going to keep it casual. You cool? No feelings.
I believe in feminism, but also getting balls deep.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes I feel like Bumble's actually a weird, nice balance of both because you do feel like you're the driver's seat as you're in the driver's seat as a woman.
That's interesting because I, like, this is probably quite ignorant of me to say, but I feel like Bumble is a bit of a, like, gimmick. Because I'm like, as a woman, I don't need an app to let me be the first one to message. If I want to message first, I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine. But I think it was designed for other reasons. It was more to just kind of make women very much feel like the ball was in their court and only their court. It wasn't like I could always ask him out at any point, like any given point in time, but he might ask it first. It's very much like, if I want this, I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that I really like about the app.
That does make a lot of sense. But from my perspective, I thought of it as like an app where you're not going to get all these unsolicited, like really douchey messages from guys. But then I was like, there's no guarantee that he's not still going to send those same messages after you message him first.
One time I matched with a guy on Bumble who I thought was an absolute smoke show. And then I said, hello. Or I can't remember what I said. I opened with a very generic prompt. Like it didn't warrant anything.
Hey, stranger.
That's my favorite because they love...
Actually, they love it.
They love two things. They love being called stranger and they love it when you're like, when you use their name in a sentence.
Oh, yeah. They really do because it adds a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Hot tip, ladies, if you are currently out there dating or on these apps, use their name in your first opening line or at any point in your chat and they're like, damn, she really be paying attention to who she be speaking to.
Because they get giddy and they're like, what, me? Oh my God.
Do you get it when a guy says Caitlin in your in a text?
It depends on the guy.
It also depends on the text.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying, it was a very generic opener. I don't remember what it was, but he launched straight into sexting. And I was unprepared. I was frankly at home at the time with mom and dad in the other room. And I freaked out, but I kind of didn't know what to do. So I kind of just let him run with it. And it was really funny. I read it back afterwards. Then there was another time where that exact same scenario happened. And I'll admit that I got into it.
Was he the one that lived in London?
Yeah.
Ooh, we don't like him.
Yeah, but we low-key love
him. But we also love him.
He was so dirty.
Oh my God, once I was talking to this guy on Tinder and he was like, I don't know, he was really nice. I think he was like a pilot or something. We're getting along well for probably like 5 messages, that was it. And then he was like, so I have a proposition for you. And I was like, oh, here we go. And he was like, so I've noticed that I'm really into like showing off nude.
I remember this guy.
So he was like, I just really like sending people like nudes and dick pics and stuff. Like it gets me really excited.
He was an exhibitionist. That's what he was.
He was. And he was like, you don't have to like participate at all. You don't even have to say anything, send anything back. But I would love to be able to like send you some nudes. And I was like,
I mean, we don't object.
No. And then he was like, oh yeah, and if you're having like a dinner party with your girlfriend,
I remember
I
this
would
now.
Love to turn up nude and just like make you guys like margaritas all night. And he's like, I just basically want to be like a butler in the buff.
You basically
without
had,
having to pay for it.
You had a free Magic Mike scenario. And what did you do?
I ruined it.
Ruined it. How did you ruin it?
I'm sorry, but I just stopped replying. But I was like, well, if I'm having dinner with my friends, I don't want a stranger's dick on the table. Call me old-fashioned.
He's not going to put it on the table unless
he
asks
him to. He would swing it about. I could see it in his eyes.
Maybe for like a tip. But those be the weird...
Doesn't count.
It does not count if it's just a tip. But those be the weird scenarios that you come across when you online date. I mean, I've never come across that. I think Singapore is weirdly conservative about that kind of thing. Oddly enough, surprise, surprise. Quelle surprise.
Ooh, you also get so many guys like in relationships, like open relationships.
So I have had this instance where he was a beautiful French man and I was like, yeah, I'm into this. And I started chatting to him and it turned out he had kids. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, where your kids at? And he said, oh, they're actually back in France with their mother. And I thought, oh, so clearly you're divorced or you're separated. And he went, no, I'm actually still with her. And I thought, oh, okay, you're in an open relationship, no judgment. And that's when he said, well, sort of. And I went, well, what do you mean sort of? And he went, well, I'm sort of allowed to, but I don't have to declare it. And that's when I was like, this be shady. So then obviously we unmatched. I'm not about to homewreck this man's family.
No, never. That's horrendous.
It's awful.
No. Oh, there was that one time. I saw these two incredibly attractive Italian men on Hinge. I sent you so many screenshots.
Oh my God. So this story,
Adonises.
This story is my favorite story of all time. Kate sent me probably the hottest men I have ever seen in a single photo. And what were they proposing, Caitlin?
They wanted like a polyamorous relationship, like a closed poly triad. So basically, exclusive to the three of you, the two of them plus a woman. And oh my God, they were stunning.
And what did you do?
I rejected them. Because I'm stupid. But
I
also, you know,
think
what actually got on my like, under my skin a little bit, which is gonna sound so dumb, is that in every background of the photo there was this cat that looked so shocked and upset. And I was like, if this cat is watching whatever
this
the hell they're
seen
doing
enough.
The cat had seen enough. His eyes like bulging out of its head, its mouth is open. I was like, I'm gonna look like that cat if I go for this.
All I remember about that profile was that I genuinely for a moment considered polyamory, and I was like, I reckon I could really get into that.
Yeah. This is just like having like an entourage, isn't it?
Yeah, a sexual entourage.
Is that not what a roster is, though? Except with a roster they've never met. Well, sometimes they have.
Do they know each other? No.
No.
We won't dig in.
No.
We won't dig in.
But I have had a situation years ago where, let's say, a casual acquaintance of mine, we were on a night out, and he was like, let me introduce you to my friend. Tries to introduce me to this guy, turns around, another casual acquaintance of mine. So I, like, start bawling my eyes out, like, laughing.
Being
like,
I thought you meant hilarious. Crying.
No, just laughing so hard, being like, oh, we've met. We have met. How do you feel about casual things? Do you think they can work if it's like no strings attached? Like,
so this is the thing where people always wonder, will feelings inevitably develop, or who's always going to get the short end of the stick, or is there such thing as we like each other as I don't know, friends, acquaintances, casual encounters, and we keep it strictly physical and have a good time that way? I personally think that can work.
I agree, but every time it like comes up in conversation, people are like, oh my God, this is going to end horribly. And I'm like,
I often think there's actually more of an assumption on the guy's part that the woman's going to catch the feelings first.
100%.
And historically, with the girlfriends that I've spoken to that have been in this scenario, it was normally the guy who caught feelings first. And I think that comes down to one of two things. One, that because the ground, like the, I think often when women catch feelings first, it's because it's an unspoken casual agreement. So they're sort of dating casually, but the woman's sort of allowed herself to develop feelings because they think it may be going somewhere. Well, if you openly communicate with each other and then you say, you know what, this is strictly physical, we're friends, or like we kind of know each other, but this is what it is, and neither of us want to take it farther than that. I think girls sort of lock it in their, or women, I should stop using the term girls, women lock it in their minds and be like, all right, that's the situation. Don't let yourself develop feelings here because you're going to hurt yourself with this. And guys, I guess, don't do that or leave it more open-ended, or I don't know what's going on in their view because I haven't spoken to them about it, but like...
I completely agree. I feel like women, we're kind of taught to be much more in touch with our emotions, and that's kind of celebrated. But I think with a lot of guys, they're not taught to recognize the signs in their own behavior. So they are more likely to catch feelings first.
So you think it's because there's a difference in emotional awareness and intelligence in the scenario?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Because, I mean, I've been in two, like, very casual situations for... One of them was for, like, over a year. The other one was
now.
Now, being at
question
least
mark?
Like 6 months or so.
Sure.
And I'm just gonna say, I'm really not at risk of catching any feelings.
Yeah, because you like them, but you don't want to date them.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently, like when I was talking to some colleagues about it.
Quick question: do you find it empowering to know that you have that sort of certainty in yourself in that situation?
100%. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm like, well, I'm getting what I need.
Don't be coy about it.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, I like it's just always available to me. So I'm like, it's chilled. I can do whatever I want because I can see this guy and I can also just go on dates with whoever I want. And I don't have to answer any questions to anyone. I think it's only not empowering if it's someone that's like not treating you respectfully, or
yes,
it's not a clear agreement.
Yes, I think the situation only works whether there's a completely clear agreement or set terms and boundaries, and that respect is entirely balanced. You see each other as equals in the scenario, and therefore you can't really fuck each other over if you're both very much on the same page and carry the same level of respect for each other.
But sometimes what really gets under my skin is if they are ever like overly trying to reinforce those barriers, and I have to sit them down and being like, look, believe me,
you mean
I am not trying to date you.
You mean say it's the morning after and they turn to you and say, you know, this is just casual, right? Is that what you mean? And you're just like,
kind of, yeah,
bro, I know.
And I'm like, yeah, and get out my house right now.
You're like, I have places to be. Do you want to share the anecdote of the time you had to physically rush him out of your apartment to reinforce the casual nature of your relationship?
Yeah. So it was actually the last time I saw him where I was like, oh, you know, I've like got brunch with my friends. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then he's like, I was like, okay, I'm going to shower and then I'm going to get dressed and then I'm got to like do my makeup and stuff. And he was like, yeah, that's cool. And he's just sat there like
taking his own like sweet ass time.
And I was like, I don't have all the time in the world. You got to go, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like rushing him out the door and he leaves and he's waiting for his Uber on the street. And I can see through the window of my living room. And I'm sat on the sofa just really leisurely and like sipping my coffee being like, oh, I don't have to leave for like another 2 hours.
So would you say in that situation, you were the one that was sort of reinforcing to be like, best not catch feelings and hang out here too long because I got things to do?
I wasn't so much worried that he was going to catch feelings, but I was just like, you accused me of like the potentially not knowing this is like a casual thing.
The audacity.
Yeah. So it was the audacity. And the second I see it, I'm like, shut it down.
Sometimes audacity is great and we celebrate it on Just So We're Clear. And sometimes you're like, where do you find that? Where was this audacity and why did you bring it to this situation now?
Who gave you the right?
Who? It's like, because I'd be looking for where you found the audacity.
I would like to get some.
I think you and I have enough, Caitlin.
Yeah, no, we've got a lot of audacity.
We have too much audacity.
The Odacity, if it was ever a fragrance.
It is the Odacity. Also, if you and I had a podcast, it'd be...
Mm-mm. Oh my God.
Hanley, I'm not cheating on you. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
We're in an open relationship.
Kate and I are in a long distance relationship. This is what keeps us close together. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about time. We said we were going to wind down like 10, 15 minutes ago, but we should probably do that now because, you know, these penis straws really did give us the sass that we needed to carry through this episode. But
they did. I feel so elegant right now.
So elegant. Like, suck the penis straw, but like classily.
With like your pinky up.
Yeah, it's like ASMR. But to anyone who's actually listening out there, we would love to hear the things that attract you to profiles, the biggest turnoffs that you have, as well as your dating nightmares, because then maybe we can discuss them on a podcast on a future episode. I just want to hear it all. And then one day, we're just going to get together and laugh and smile about it, I think. But before we go, Kate, a little self-promo. How do people find you if they want to stalk you online?
Oh, God. So my Instagram is just @CaitlinTrue. I cannot promise you anything except a fine selection of handcrafted memes. No, hand-selected memes.
Hand-curated.
Curated memes.
And then your Twitter, because I personally follow your Twitter.
Oh, my God. I don't actually know what my...
It's like Caitlin with like 5 A's or something, /94.
I don't know. It's Caitlin with 3 A's. True.
Easy peasy. Okay, well, thank you to all of you for listening, especially if you made it this far through what can only be described as just...
chaos, nonsense, bullshit.
Nonsense. I think our brand is nonsense. But we will love you and leave you, and we will speak again soon. Bye.
Love you guys.